The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
What's wrong with us? You say, what do you mean what's wrong with us? You got something wrong? Well, let me just say, I think there's something wrong with all of us. And I want to share today with you from God's Word some interesting things about our condition. You know, I have a verse of Scripture in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 12, in which our Lord, when He was here on earth, said there was something wrong with us. And we'd be wise to take heed what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said that they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Do you ever have a time in your life when everything seemed to be going well? Physically, you seemed to be pretty healthy, and as far as job-wise and all, everything seemed to be going pretty good, even going pretty well at home. And yet in your life, you just felt something was missing. Something just wasn't there. Well, there is something wrong with us, and that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world over 2,000 years ago to solve a problem that you and I have. Maybe not a physical problem, but it turns out to be physical. And an emotional problem, but it's not just an emotional problem. There's another part of our being we want to talk about today, and that is our spiritual being. You know, no matter what scientists have said about man and trying to relate us to animals and so forth, you know, there's a big difference between humanity, you and I, as compared to the animal world. And you know, we read that what that difference is back in the book of Genesis when God first created man. He said when it came time for man to be created, He said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He them, male and female created He them. And so in this verse of Scripture, we learn that man is created in the image of God. It also says, in the image and likeness of God. Now, perhaps the likeness has to do with our appearance. But you know, that word image is a little bit more than that. And even the verse itself bears that out when it says, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Well, God is the creator of man, and yet the verses use a word here that's plural. God said, "Let us make man in our image." Well, part of the image of God is that God is a triune being. Despite what other people might say, the Bible verifies that God is one God made known to us in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when God created us, He created man in His image. And that image reflects something other than just our likeness. It reflects, first of all, in our ability, that God created man with the ability to reason, to be able to think and to think things out, not only to know something works, but to figure out how it works and why it works. God gave us that ability mentally to reason. He gave us an ability mentally to choose. We can make a choice in life. And God leaves a choice with us, and all through Scripture it verifies that God has given man freedom of choice. And in our mental capacity, we have that capacity. And then God gave us in our mental capacity as well something that the animals don't have, and that is the ability to create. Man takes things and he begins to fashion it and he creates it and he makes things, he makes buildings and he makes cars and he makes different things to serve him. And that is part of that image of God that's been given to man. Part of that image involves as well our character in the sense of morality. Now, we might not have the morality of God in our fallen state, but it's definitely true that we do have a sense of morality. All of mankind has a sense of right and wrong, and that keeps the world from going chaos. And that's part of the thing that God has created man in his own image. Those are some of the images of God within man. The animal world, they don't have such a thing. They don't have morality. They just have instinct, and they just have survival. But man is a lot different than an animal. In fact, God says that when he created man, the Bible says he formed man out of the dust of the earth, and God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And in that verse of Scripture, we begin to understand that man, just like God, is triune. Now, I'm not saying we're God. We're far from that. But God, creating man in his own image, created a triune being, and we are spirit, soul, and body. God formed man, the body, out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and God, from his very being, breathed life into man. The word breath is the word in the Greek, it's pneuma, and that's the word spirit. God breathed a spirit into man, a spirit of life, and when he did that, man became a living soul. He became different than all the other animal creation in that our soul and came from the very breath of God, and we were then created, and part of that, we were created in God's image. And so in God's image is how man was created. Now, being a triune being, when Satan came to tempt Eve, he knew how Eve would operate. And God, when he created us, with those three parts of our being, spirit, soul, and body, our spirit is what relates to God. The Bible tells us that he that will worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so the spirit is the very seed of our intellect through which we can understand and commune and walk with God. And we know Adam and Eve did that in the first when they were created and put in the garden. And then God gave man a soul, and that soul is the seed of man's appetite, the desires. And the emotions are wrapped up in the soul of man. And then he gave him a body, and that is something, that's the thing that we use to walk around on earth. And where the purpose of our body is to be a vehicle through which we can serve God in the creation, the creation that he made. And so God created man that way. But when they were put in the garden, Satan came to Eve, and it became a test over the free will of Eve and then the free will of Adam and whom he was going to serve. And that is, were they going to choose to serve God or would they choose to serve Satan? And Satan comes along and he begins to refute the things that God had said because God told them that if they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day they eat thereof, they shall surely die. And Satan comes along and he said, thou shalt not surely die, a direct contradiction to what God said, leaving Adam and Eve in a dilemma whether they were going to believe Satan or believe God and which one they were going to serve in their flesh. Now, when Satan came to Eve and made her look upon that tree, as he began to tempt her, the temptation came three ways. And it came first to the flesh, then it came to her soul, and then it came into her spirit. It says in verse 6 of Genesis 3, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, something to satisfy her flesh, she began to think, rather through the spirit, that her purpose is to know and worship God. She began to put her flesh first and saw that tree as something good to satisfy her flesh. The thing that happened to Eve here in her fall, both body, soul, and spirit, is something that we are told in the book of 1 John. In fact, let me read it to you. 1 John chapter 3, and it says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. God says all the temptations that this world has is in three categories. The lust of the flesh, body. The lust of the eyes, what you desire with your eyes, that's your soul. And the pride of life, that's your spirit. That's you saying you want your way rather than following God. And our spirit was made to be in obedience and to worship and to glorify God. Well, here Eve is in the garden. She saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, just like John told us. Here she goes. She's first in her body, starts to desire that food, and then her eyes look on it. It was pleasant to see, something that she desired. And the verse goes on to say, And a tree to be desired to make one wise. The promise was that if she ate of that tree of knowledge and good and evil, that she would have knowledge as the angelic being. She would have the knowledge of God and be like God. And so as she began to look at that, she began to lust for it first in her flesh and then in her soul and then in her spirit. She chose to be like God. And as a result of that, she ate and gave to her husband, and he ate, and sin entered into the world. And that's the sin that is our problem. We do have a problem. From the very time of that fall, man became sin-natured. That is, we began to live our life in that order, rather than living it in the order that God would have us to live, through our spirit worshiping God, our soul desiring the things that the Spirit of God tells us in our being, and then our flesh being used to serve God. Rather than that happening that way, man turns around and lives his life in the impulse of the flesh. And then his emotions get all out of whack because they're following the flesh and not following the truth, the spirit that's in man. And then man's spirit is something that went out of whack at the very beginning, because God said that the day you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, ye shall surely die. And the point is, Adam and Eve, when the day they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they surely died. Satan says, thou shalt not surely die, but let God be true and every man a liar. They died that day. And what died in them is the capacity and the ability to worship God and to serve God in their spirit. They had a fallen spirit that the Bible says is dead. It's void of life. It's separated from God. And as a result of that, man, rather than following the spirit, follows the flesh, and then he gets himself in all kinds of trouble. He is now sin-natured since that fall. And not only Adam and Eve, but when I say man, I'm talking about mankind. We're told, and let me just read a couple verses for you in the book of Romans, how man begins to follow his flesh and the danger of it. Romans chapter 1 is a time in human history in early days when man began to follow his own thinking. And it says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. See, their spirit won't worship God. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Now, if the spirit is the seat of your intellect, and you're spiritually dead because of the fall of sin, the fall of mankind and sin that's dwelling in us, that man now turns to his own imagination and begins to create his own form of religion. He became vain in his imagination, and his foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like unto corruptible man, to birds, and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Out of the imagination of man came a new form of worship. They were going to worship images, things that man was going to create, as if man is a god creating a god to worship. And so God says he became foolish and begins to worship things that are less than man. It starts out with man, then to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. But when man turned from God that way, it says, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now watch God give up on man in his triune being. Man decides, no, I'm not going to worship God. I'm going to invent my own religion. And he does that out of his own sin nature and his rebellion against God. And God says, okay, you're going to change my glory and worship an image. I give up on you. And when he did, he gave them up to uncleanness to dishonor their own bodies, it says. So he gave up on them in their bodies. Man goes on, and the verses say they changed the truth of God into a lie. And verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. The seat of your emotions is your soul. And now when they gave up on God, God says, okay, I give up on you, on your body. You go ahead and dishonor your bodies. Then they changed the truth of God into a lie, and God says, okay, I give you up to vile affections. You know, man today is running all over the place trying to solve their problems. They realize they do have medical problems, and we run to a doctor and sometimes can get some help from that. But man realizes his problem's worse than that today because he's running to a psychiatrist, he's running to therapy groups, he's trying to get his emotions in whack, and he has no solution. They try to help, and they can be of some help, but very little, because there's something else wrong with man. And that is his soul, his communion with God has been cut off. Because the verses go on to say that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they wanted to erase the very thought of God, is when they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things that are not convenient. And then a whole list of sins are listed here, because when they decided to quit thinking about God and seeking God and trying to know God, then God gave them up to a reprobate mind. He gave them up again in their spirit. Left to their own spirit, they're left empty and vain and void of God, and they get themselves in all kinds of trouble. So man is sin-natured. Romans chapter 5 tells us this: wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know, death passed upon men in all the ways that it can happen. We die physically, but so did that spiritual death pass down from Adam. And it took the Lord Jesus Christ to come into this world to supply the need of man, not just physically, and not just emotionally, but the greatest need of all, to bring spiritual life back to man's being. And this passage of Scripture goes to compare the fall of Adam and how Adam brought sin and death into the world, and how the Lord Jesus Christ brings grace and life back to us. Just a couple verses. For instance, in verse 15 it says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift." What the Lord Jesus Christ did for us is a free gift. We don't create a form of worship in order to get God's acceptance again. God had to reach down, because dead men can't help themselves, and we're spiritually dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and provided a free gift. It says, "For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound to many." And not as was by one that one sinned, so is the gift. For judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ did come in to fix what was wrong with us, to provide for us a salvation in which once again we can worship God in spirit and allow the Spirit of God to come into our being through faith and to begin to direct our life, to correct our emotions, and to cause us in our body to now serve God instead of serving the lust of the flesh and controlling our life. In Ephesians chapter 2, we see it again, concerning the fact that we are, before salvation, dead in sins. Paul writes to the Ephesians, who, when he went to the city and preached the gospel, believed on Jesus Christ and became saved. But Paul reminds them their condition before they believed on Christ. It says, "And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." God says we were dead, not physically, and not in our soul, but in our spirit we were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in past time you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now watch this verse. "Among whom ye also had your conversation," your lifestyle, "in time past, in the lust of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh," there's your soul, "and of the mind," your spirit and your soul following the lust of the flesh, "and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now here we are, dead in sin, we can't worship with God, we have not the life of God in us, and here we are, dead in sins, following our flesh, we're without hope. Except, it goes on to say, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us," made us alive together with Christ, "by grace are ye saved." And he goes on to say in verse 8, "For by grace," that's getting what you do not deserve and cannot earn. We're saved by grace because before our salvation came about, we were dead in our sins, incapable of saving ourselves. But God's grace provided a means for us to be saved. God's grace put Jesus Christ on the cross, who was sinless. And do you remember how Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil? Do you remember, just like God, that Satan came and tempted Eve and made Adam to follow her sin? That when Jesus Christ came, the devil came to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, but was unsuccessful. When he came to appear before Christ, the first thing he tried to do after Christ starved for 40 days and fasted for 40 days there, that Satan came and tempted him and says, "Turn these stones into bread." And the Lord Jesus Christ said that he wouldn't tempt God. Satan tried to get the Lord Jesus Christ to satisfy his own flesh rather than depending upon his Father. And rather than doing that, Jesus Christ did not succumb to that. So then Satan goes to the soul and tries to tempt the soul of our Lord Jesus Christ. He took him to the pinnacle of the temple and he told, "Well, why don't you just jump off, because it said that God would send angels to bear you up lest you dash your foot against the stone." And again, he tried to test whether Jesus Christ would make God prove that he loved him. But Jesus Christ lives by the word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he doesn't tempt the Lord his God. And then come the third test, where he takes the Lord Jesus and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And Satan is in control of the kingdoms of this world today. And he says, "All of them I'll give you if you bow down and worship me." And the Lord Jesus Christ is being tempted in his spirit now. And the Lord Jesus Christ did not succumb to that test. He said, "You worship God, and him only shall you serve." And so the Lord Jesus Christ passed all the tests that Satan tried to tempt, all in his body, in his soul, in his spirit. And Jesus Christ bought the right to go to the cross and die on the cross to pay for our failures, because he did not fail. And that's the means by which God, by his grace, can now save us if we will believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. I say that because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're told this. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says to the Corinthians, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, and by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, lest ye believe in vain." Down in verse 14, it explains that what Paul means, "lest ye believe in vain," is the Corinthians began to wonder and to deny that Jesus Christ rose bodily from the dead. And part of the gospel, as we're going to see here, that saves our soul, is that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And the Bible says in this very passage that if Christ didn't raise from the dead, then we are of all men most miserable. Then we're without hope. But we didn't believe in vain, because we believe all aspects of the gospel. It says in verse 3, it says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." You see how the Lord Jesus Christ took care of our illness, our problem? We became sin-natured, and we became sinners, and we were dead in trespasses and sins, incapable of saving ourselves. But by the grace of God, a salvation was brought. And this verse tells us how it was brought. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, the sinless Lamb of God went to the cross and died there on the cross, this verse says, for our sins. It's every one of our sins. He died for all of our sins. Everything that we've ever committed, everything we've ever done wrong, our very nature of sin, he died for it all. And it says that he died for our sins, and according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And so by his death, burial, and resurrection, he has provided for us salvation. Now remember that it said in Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith." That salvation comes in and becomes your salvation the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's what these verses are saying, "lest you believed in vain." If you turn down the truth of God that Christ died for your sins, if you turn down the fact that Christ was buried in full complete, showing that he went to the cross and died and was actually dead and stayed dead for 3 days, and that Christ rose bodily from the dead after 3 days, that's what the Scripture says was the payment for your sins. And if you don't believe that, then you have a vain faith that cannot save. But if you believe it, then your sins are taken away. And this verse goes on to say, this chapter goes on to say, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." Again, comparing Adam bringing in sin and Jesus Christ bringing in resurrection hope. It goes on to say, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Do you realize that today you are either in Adam, dead in sins, but when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become placed in Christ, forgiven of sins, and having the guaranteed promise of God of resurrection unto life. In fact, that begins immediately, because this same Ephesians chapter 1 says, the moment we believe, we are sealed by God's Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. We're spiritually dead, but the moment we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God energizes our body and puts within our very being a spirit of life. Now, you realize you can die all three ways. We know about physical death. We worry about that, being planted into the ground. But you know, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 16 that a rich man died and was buried, and the very next verse says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. See, you can not only die bodily, they bury that, but you have a soul, and for your soul to die is to be separated from God for all eternity in hell, and eventually, as it says in Revelation chapter 20, that there's going to be a time where where it says death and hell are going to be stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is going to cast death in hell in a lake of fire, and it says this is the second death. Just like we're born physically, spiritually dead, and we worry about the first death, the physical death, God says there's something worse than that. There's the death of your soul. And if you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will spend eternity separated from God in a lake of fire. But you know, I'm here to share the solution. Christ says that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Christ says he came to seek and to save that which is lost. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sins. And now he's fully capable and able to save all who come unto him. And he will give them eternal life if they believe. He will save their spirit by putting his spirit within them, save their soul, it'll go home to be with him in glory, and save their body in the resurrection. Why don't you believe on the Lord Jesus?
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Phone number, area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.